This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
That's lovely. That is gorgeous. Isn't that beautiful? Not in time, but you can't have it all, can you? Ultimately, I should have brought a tambourine in, really. All right, you can kill him now if you like. You're listening to the Vinny White Show here on News Talk 1010. Feeling festive, feeling funky. Why not join us? Text the show on 71010. You can also phone the show on 416 872 1010. 877 518 5151 as well, if you want it to be free. So that's good. See, I like the text because they come in and I can sort of read them as we go. But, you know, any medium you like. You can even do the Facebook. Facebook is Vinny White. And Twitter is at Vinny White. Because that's me, Vinny White. I'm here for an hour. And I'm lucky to be here at all. I will explain. Coming up on the show, first, though, I would let you know that. Coming up, high heels. Are they sexy? Yes. Are men shallow? Yes. Is there evidence now? Mm-hmm. Good. That's a revelation for us all. Apparently there's evidence to suggest that men are more helpful to women in heels. Who would have thunk it? Do you need a digital twin? Technology is rising so quickly that the robots, they might be taking over, warns Stephen Hawking this week. And there's already predictions of us being replicated as a digital twin version of ourselves. We discussed that. The worst five Christmas songs, and a good one for balance. And North Korea. I mean, that's a fair blend, isn't it? That's a hodgepodge on the Vinny White Show. So I'm going to tell you a story now. And if, like most of us nowadays, you've got ADHD, you might just start thinking, Vinny's getting just a little bit boring. But just hang with me on this one, because there's a bit of a kicker that you don't see coming. I know I didn't. I'm going to delete the important names for possible legal ramifications, but everything I'm about to say is true. And everything I'm about to say happened this week, on Tuesday, to be exact. I run a business that's pretty busy at the moment. It's called MrPhotoCanvas.com. And I'm not legally obliged to say it in a cheesy voice. It just feels right. So if you want a canvas print before Christmas, go to MrPhotoCanvas.com. Got that in early. Bada bada boom, bada bada bing, kerching. I am very busy with the printing of various canvas prints. A bit like the crap that you can get from a large store, but way better quality. And of course, your photo or artwork reproduced. Sorry, I'm still plugging. Sorry. But I'm very busy, but I like every morning to sort of clear my head and get down to business with a run. So for the last probably, 3 months or so, I've been very disciplined. I'm very pleased with myself. And every weekday, I go for a run. So Tuesday, I woke up and I did my usual thing. I put on my shorts, which in retrospect was a ridiculously foolish manoeuvre, and a T-shirt and like a tracksuit top, and I went for my run. It was quite a nice morning on Tuesday morning. And apart from the fact that it was bitterly cold and I slightly regretted my choice of attire, I was doing my run and I sort of run down to the lake. I like looking out over the lake, feeling fairly groovy about the world and then coming back. And, it's not a complicated or difficult run. It's quite simple, really. And at one point I was running along and the wind really picked up, actually. It was really bitterly cold. And I just felt really just sort of chilled to the bone. You know that cold that makes you think, particularly if you're an immigrant, you tend to think, sorry, why did I move here? That cold, you know. The one that sort of reminds you that if Jack Frost exists, he's got his hand inside your bottom. And so I felt very cold, but I cracked on with it and I was running down towards the lake. I thought, I'll just make it to the lake and I'll probably turn around and head back and get on with my busy day. And I was running along parallel with a very large construction site, which, again, I can't tell you where it is because I don't want to cause any waves at this point. But let's just say I'm running along and I'm minding my own business and there's a construction site in the vicinity. And it looks like the sidewalk's been blocked off. As is, if you're not from Toronto, basically an enormous amount of the time, the sidewalks are blocked off here because they're building condos. Condos that, of course, make the skyline of Toronto look so beautiful because they're also very different. Lots of different shapes and sizes. of rectangles. And so I'm running along, and I'm sort of parallel with this large steel fence that runs around the perimeter of a very large construction site. And the wind picks up, and I'm like, oh, that one was cold. Cool, that was right up the old hoo-ha, if I had a hoo-ha. And, you know, let's just say the appendage, it's never been that big. This morning, it's there's nothing there. That's what I'm saying. There's no point bragging about it. So I'm running along, life's all right, a bit chilly, and then this happens. A gust of wind came off the lake. It ricocheted up what has become essentially a group of wind tunnels, hasn't it? Where we've built all these monstrosities. We sort of forgot about, I don't know, weather. And so what happens a lot is if you're running anywhere along the lake, you do tend to get really hit with these icy blasts, particularly on, you know, crucially windy days like Tuesday. And I don't know what happened next, but I do know this. Something from somewhere hit me. And I couldn't work out what it was until I was being struck to the ground. And it turns out a 7-foot-high steel fence had blown over because it wasn't secured. Key point there, it wasn't secured. Four of the sections of the fence, which usually are tied to the rest of the fence that ran around the perimeter of this site, had been removed and had not been tied back. So an unsecured fence squashed me. And I didn't know this at the time because it all happened so quick. I've got quite a big mark down my hand where I tried to protect myself and a massive gash across the top of my head. And the next thing I know, I'm under a fence. And it would appear that I'm dying because I have a very large wound to my head. I think I'm losing, or certainly in and out of consciousness. And I don't seem to be able to find the strength because all my muscles have been torn on the way down. And my ligaments have sort of, I don't know what the hell happened. I'm not even going to try and pretend that I know what happened. All I know is I'm under a fence. I think I'm unconscious. And I don't know what I'm going to die of first. The wound to my head, or the unbelievable cold that I'm now feeling because I'm lying on the floor. It's -5, probably -15 with a wind chill. And if you're listening in America, that's -6 million. So I'm on the floor. I'm not feeling too hot in both the literal sense and the I'm about to die sense. And I realised that I actually can't move this thing off me. I'm like proper under it, like absolutely sparko on the floor under a fence. And then some guys from the building site saw this, presumably, and ran out and pulled this fence off me. And the next thing I know, I'm sat down in the building site, which will remain nameless for legal purposes, which I'm sure you're now starting to think about as well, as was I. And I was squashed. So I looked at my sort of hands and I tried to work out what was going on. I felt my head and I had this huge gash and it was bleeding, but I have to admit it wasn't that bad. Luckily, the fence had struck me in a way that my head had taken all the brunt of the force, not only the one that hit me with the fence, but also when it smashed into the concrete floor that I landed on. So I've got two bumps. I look a bit weird, really. I look a bit like a sort of small Mickey Mouse. Like if you could just get the ears and shrink them down a bit, that's where my bumps are. It's lovely, one on each side. So I've got this gash in my head, and then I'm like, so what's happening? Because I was running, and then I nearly died. So, sorry, what just happened? And the weird thing about shock is, because you never expect all this type of thing, you think, well, I guess I'll just carry on running then? Is that what I do? I don't know. And then I'm like, no, hang on a minute, I think I need an ambulance. Do I? I don't know. I don't know. And they're like, do you want an ambulance? And I'm like, I don't really know. Do I need one? I think I do. So I think someone called an ambulance, and then I cancelled it because I said, well, actually, I think I'm right. Just let me just think, because I can't think. I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. Who the hell are you? Now, to their credit, all these workmen were really helpful, and I've really got to stress that, which is probably not that surprising, really. But nonetheless, they were really helpful and decent guys, and I really thank them for it, particularly if they're listening, which I believe they probably will be. And so they said you need to fill out an accident report, which I did, which, by the way, when you've just been smashed over the head and landed on a concrete floor, you don't really want to do paperwork. But these things have to be done, such as the North American society that we live in. So then they drove me home because I didn't have anything on me apart from my iPhone. And so I had to get my health card. And then they drove me to a walking clinic where the doctor looked me over and said, sorry, what? And I was like, you know, when you're telling a story and you're like, yeah, So I went for a run and I got squashed by a 7 foot high steel fence in a high wind. And I, that's why I've got a gash on my head. To which she's thinking, lawsuit. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not really litigious, but I'm also thinking, I'm going to pay for this because I'm already supposed to be at work. So she said I can't work, so I haven't been able to work, apart from this job, which I do standing up. And it's just as well because I'm finding it a bit hard to sit down. I went to a chiropractor. I'll get the report tomorrow. Apparently, I'm in a bit of trouble, but I hope I'm going to be all right. And I, you know, I hate that sort of thing. You know, you get these ambulance chasers that fall over in supermarkets on purpose and all that, and they end up, I think they give the whole sort of litigious society of North America a bad name. But hang on a minute, I went for a run to make myself feel better and I nearly died. So you know what? I might have to do something about that. So if you've got any advice for me, genuinely, I wouldn't mind. You can call the show in 416 872 1010. Can I just ask you what you would do if you were me? I'm sort of interested as to what you would do. And perhaps you know something more about this than I do. Now, I will not be giving the name of the construction company and I will not be giving the name of doctors and all the other associated stuff with it. I'll tell you what happened. I just did. But that's as far as I'm going, because the last thing I want is to get myself in trouble in a courtroom for having said something that I shouldn't have said on air. But I feel that it's perfectly reasonable to tell an honest and true story about something that happened to me this week. So if the show's a bit crap, I've got a pretty good excuse. Better than usual. And that's a cup of tea, although it is quite tempting to drink copious amounts of whiskey ever since. Yeah, so if you sort of lost the value of life, and sometimes you're getting a bit stressed recently, what with the whole Christmas thing and idiotic Muppets getting angry with you on Black Friday and the stress of the cold weather and wrapping up, just remember, you know what? Life is short and anything really can happen. And I've been thinking about that quite a lot since Tuesday. So if you're having an argument with someone and it's a bit petty, give them a hug tonight, because you know what? You could be struck by a metal fence, you might be squashed, and you might not be as lucky as me. Because luckily, as a reasonably young, slightly agile man, I didn't break a hip, but many would, and many would have ended up in much a worse place. And the other thing I'd say, since we're on the subject, if you're running a construction company and you're building a property or anything, modifying a property here in Toronto, look out for what you're doing. I'm fed up with stories of glass plates coming out of dodgy, unglued windows, wrenches falling through the back of cars on the gardener. It's not good enough, and people die. So sort your crap out and pull your socks up. Otherwise, you'll get more and more stories from people like me. And some of them, like, it's a good job that you can hear me moaning, which is a weird thing to say because you're probably fed up with it already. But there's a bloody good chance I wouldn't even be here. So if you're in construction, health and safety, I know it's annoying to have to wear hard hats and yellow jackets, and sometimes it gets a bit out of control, but we need a bit more regulation. And if you're supposed to keep a fence secure, then secure the bloody fence! I hope I've made my point. I think the shouting was helpful. Yeah. We come back after a break and talk about North Korea. Always a cheerful topic.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Nice to be here. My name is Vinnie White. I'm here for an hour. So I'll knock off about 10. Try and get at the end of the show. A few texts in. Text coming in on 71010. Vinny, I'm a lawyer and I'll represent you. That's an easy one. Yeah, I thought that might happen. Have you contacted a lawyer? I have. I haven't got official. I haven't started everything officially. But yeah, I have. Because I'm losing loads of money. Like, I can't work. I think I can go back to work this week. When I get the chiropractor report, I'll be able to tell you. Yeah, it's annoying. Who else here? 71010. Something similar happened to my mother and she wasn't so lucky. She broke her... It doesn't say. Well, that's the key point. I hope it wasn't anything more than a hip. It doesn't say. What a weird point to cut out. 71010, your text coming in. Construction sites are usually managed well, quite well in North America because they're all afraid of lawsuits. See it through and make sure you get what you deserve to cover your expenses. Yeah, you're damn right I will. And thank you for your concern as well. A lot of people just texting, I hope you're all right. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just annoyed and like I can't look to the right, which is really annoying when you want to look to the right. And I've noticed that all attractive women pass me on my right this week because I've cricked my neck many a time doing it. So if you're an attractive woman, if you wouldn't mind passing on my left, that'd be lovely because I don't have a great deal of problems looking to my left. This has been a public service announcement for perverts everywhere. 71010 if you want to text in. North Korea. I love North Korea in every possible way. I mean, obviously it's disgusting and cruel and barbaric and awful. But I love the fact that this guy, Kim Jong-il, is just... you don't get as many megalomaniacs as you used to, what with the Arab Spring, you know? You don't get as many nutters. Okay, you've got Syria and a handful in northern Africa and, of course, Mugabe in Zimbabwe. But a good classic dictatorial nutter, you don't get as many as you used to. You remember the good old days? Hitler, Pol Pot, you know them. This guy is just bonkers, isn't he? So North Korea this week has denied the Sony hack and called it a righteous deed. I just love this. If you don't know about this, the Nation issued a statement denying even knew where the movie studio was. I'm referring to the Sony studios, okay? And this statement came out today. Now, Sony is producing a film called The Interview, right? A movie called The Interview, starring James Franco and Seth Rogen, which is a comedy about an assassination attempt on the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. And it looks great. I mean, I haven't seen it. No one's seen it, but it looks fantastic. So I'd really encourage you to go and see it, that's for sure. But this week, Sony had their email hacked, bringing the entire Sony email system down, which is, you know, awful. It meant no one knew when the sandwich lady was coming and no one got invited to Gemma from Accounts Leaving Do. You know, tragic. But North Korea, as I said, released a statement today that clearly relished a cyber attack on Sony Pictures, which is producing the upcoming movie that depicts this assassination plot against, you know, this Pyongyang supreme leader and nutter. Now, while denying responsibility for the attack that happened this week, they did go on to say that they were kind of pleased that it happened, really. I mean, not in those words. Actually, the statement says this, it might be a righteous deed of the supporters and sympathisers of the North's call for the world to turn against a just struggle against US imperialism. They went on to say, we do not know where in America the Sony Pictures is situated. Well, you could just Google that. I mean, you must be able to access the internet at government level. I know no one else can. They rely on their information to be fed by balloon. We do not know where in America the Sony Pictures is situated and for what wrongdoings it became the target of the attack. Nor do we feel we need to know about it, said the statement, carried in state media today. They went on to say, I'll try the accent. But what we clearly know is the Sony Pictures is very one which we was going to produce a film abetting the terrorist act while hurting the dignity of the supreme leader of North Korea. You could say that that was offensive, but I think we're fairly safe. They haven't got radios. Haven't got the internet. It's all right. It's an easy audience to pick on, the North Koreans. If you're listening in North Korea... It recently opened fire on Pyongyang propaganda balloons, by the way. I don't know if you knew about this. The dictatorship run by that absolute idiot... actually opened fire on these balloons. Because what the South does, if you can manage to get from the North into China, across China, into usually, I think it's Vietnam, down through Vietnam, and then usually, finally, they get into Thailand, then you get asylum. It's absolutely insane. There's YouTube videos on it. It will astonish you. If you're bored, just type in North Korea escape and it will blow your mind. So, and it will also make you cry. Some of the harrowing stories of people that have... managed to get out of North Korea. But if you do that and you end up with political asylum and get granted access into South Korea, then one of the objectives that you make your life is spreading the truth about the dictatorship that you left. And they'll do that in any way they can. So they'll blow up balloons full of helium and attach notes, and quite often FM radios, because radio's banned unless it's state radio. So they'll try and get these things into North Korea just to spread the truth, which is the guy that's running the shop is a nutter. I mean, I don't know if they use those words, but they might as well. But yeah, they Kim Jong-un opened fired on a load of balloons carrying this truthful propaganda. Now, the Sony movie in question, The Interview, as I say, it's a comedy starring Seth Rogen and James Franco, and its plot concerns an attempt to kill Kim Jong-un, which is why, of course, you know, they've always been a sensitive bunch, so they're not over the moon about this one. Now, of course, I, as a radio host here at News Talk 1010, choose to remain impartial, because I don't want to anger the supreme leader, Kim Jong-un, so I won't be pushing any publicity of the forthcoming movie, The Interview, a brilliant comedy starring Seth Rogen and James Franco. So I won't be mentioning the name of the movie, The Interview, so I don't have to anger the supreme murderer. Sorry, leader, Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is not pleased by the movie, so I certainly don't want to upset the fat, weird, murdering, tyrannical bastard by mentioning The Interview, available soon. I take no sides between North Korea, a country so warped that it lets its people eat grass when hungry because it's too busy spending money on propaganda, pushing the ideals of a completely insane dictator and making brass statues of, like, everyone in the family. Which, by the way, if you didn't know that, like, I don't know if you know this, when you make a brass statue of the dictatorial arse dynasty of this murdering barbaric family in North Korea, do you know that it has to be a certain height and you have to always be able to look up at it? You can never look down at it. Now, if that doesn't say out of control ego, you can print off a picture of me, Vinnie White. I'm on the internet and you can use it as a dartboard and you can pee on it. I don't care. I swear I don't care. I'm over it. You can hate is going to hate, and they're always going to. So you might as well just let people hate. It doesn't matter. And the sooner that fat muppet learns it, the better. I don't usually take people's weight into consideration when insulting them, but he's a fatty. any ammunition. I mean, I could do a lot more sort of political, satirical, intelligent comedy. But he's a fat bastard. So I take no sides, as I say, between that country and Hollywood. Hollywood, which is using satire to alert the Western world to the deranged leader who looks like the fat Cub Scout from the movie Up. Doesn't he? Have you seen it? Have you seen the movie Up, Elliot?
I haven't seen that yet.
If you ever watch it, Kim Jong-un's in it. I don't think it's intentional, but he's in it. So there you go. And if I haven't made my point clear, if we wouldn't just... Can we all stop with these dictatorships? I don't know how that's going to happen, but probably not from some idiot on the talk radio station in Canada saying, can we all stop dictatorships? But if there are dictators listening or people that are thinking about being dictators, then can you not? It's just not really nice. All right. Good. Text to show. Oh, I'm getting a lot of good text. First, since we're on the topic, let's do Kim Jong-un. Someone sent a Kim Jong-un fact, and I don't know if it's true, but I believe it. Kim Jong-il once tried to solve North Korea's food shortages by breeding giant rabbits. He goes on to say a German farmer sent 12 rabbits to get started, but later learned that all 12 were eaten by Kim Jong-il's birthday party. It's probably true. If you ever hear anything about North Korea and think that can't be true, no, it's probably true. And then lots of considerate people that are talking about the injuries that I suffered this week. Someone says, if you suffer a head injury, you are more thirsty than usual. I found drinking more water helped with the dizziness. Someone says, did you get a copy of the accident report? Yes. I would take pictures of the sidewalk and call the city. A lawyer. Right. Should we take a call? I haven't taken one for a while. I'm sure everyone's perfectly sane and definitely not weird in any way. So let's find out what's going on. Hello, what's your name? I mean, it's not the best bit of radio I've ever done.
Hello, Vinnie. It's Vinnie.
Oh, really?
I want to know, who beheaded more people in the last 2 months, ISIS or Saudi Arabia? Yes. Natas. Oh, Natas, mate. Good day. Tiasa.
Right. All right. See you later. One of the things about having an accent in this country is some people think, like, I don't know if they think it's funny to imitate it. I mean, it would be all right if it was funny, like if the content was funny. I don't mind. I don't mind anything if it's funny. I don't take it personally offensive. I just want it to be funny, you know. It's like cracker jokes. I'd rather they didn't exist because they're not funny. I don't resent the concept of jokes. I just don't like crap ones. Same type of thing. But thanks for your reasonably pathetic effort. Coming up, 5 awful Christmas songs that you have not heard and a good one. Yeah! Having a digital twin and high heels. Are they sexy? Yes, and it's a fact.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yeah, that's where you are, you know. It could be worse. Do you need a Christmas gift? Then why not use MrPhotoCanvas.com? We just did a load of ads and I thought I'd just chuck one on the end. A little bit cheeky. High heels, are they sexy? It's a bit of a non-brainer, isn't it? Really? Yeah. But now there's evidence to suggest that they're sexy. And it's also evidence to suggest that us men are a bit pervy. Really interesting study. So interesting, I thought I'd share it with you. High heels could bring out the best in men, says a study. A first-of-its-kind study investigated the effect of women's shoes on men's behaviour and found that women wearing high heels inspire a man to be more helpful. Yes, proving that us men are shallower than a paddling pool and more predictable than the Leafs at losing. We officially behave differently around high-heeled women. This is a fact. Women's shoe heel size experts said, I don't know how you become a woman's shoe heel size expert, but a study by a guy in France called Nicolas Grandjean of the Université de Boutonceau, forgive my pronunciation, emphasising how his study reveals men's age-old penchant for the attractive physical attributes of a lady in heels. It's a really good sort of controlled experiment. In the study, he observed the responses of 90 male participants between the ages of 25 and 50, who had been randomly selected just from a street in Brittany in France. The 19-year-old female participant asked them to complete a survey, and she used the same language every time. So it's a completely controlled experiment. Once in flat shoes, she did it. Once wearing shoes with a high heel measured at about 5 centimetres, and once again wearing high heels that measured 9 centimetres. Now, the content of the survey was irrelevant. They just wanted to know who would stop for who. And it turns out the results indicate that people's responsiveness doubled between the lowest and highest of heel heights. So in other words, men are twice more likely to stop and complete a survey for someone wearing very high heels as to wearing no heels at all. So if you want to get ahead, and I know it sounds terribly sexist, it's an awful conclusion to come to, so forgive me, but it's not my survey. If you want to get ahead in the world and you're a woman, wear heels. Unless you're an Amazon, and then, of course, it makes little fellas like me feel terribly insecure about ourselves. You know, you can wear those little heels, you know, the Fisher-Price heels if you're a tall woman. Just the little cheeky one, just to give yourself a little edge. But there you are. Why not? Now then, digital twins. Do we have to do a break? Yeah, or I can keep running, can I? Let's do digital twins, and then we're going to do 5 awful Christmas songs and 1 really good one. We'll take them apart. And do keep your text coming in. Someone texted me, you should have called 911 ambulance right away and gone to hospital right there for the documentation. Yeah, well, you know what? You're not really thinking when you're concussed. I know you're right now. But I got a full doctor's report. I went to a walk-in clinic and she said, in a slightly more professional manner than I'm about to, that I was a bit screwed. But yeah, no, I appreciate your help. I think you're absolutely right. I probably should have gone to hospital. It's really weird when someone says, do you want an ambulance? Because my ultimate response to that is always, no. And even when you probably need an ambulance, you think, well, no. Like, you could probably tear my arm off and I'd go, no, because I was just running. I don't think I need anything, you know? It's really weird what happens to you when you're in shock. If you don't know what I'm talking about, by the way, where the hell were you at the beginning of the show? What time do you call this? You can't just breeze in now. Where's your commitment? Vinnie White Show starts at 9:06 sharp. Hmm? Pull your socks up. It's time to talk digital twins. Yeah, this week, it was a really interesting week because Stephen Hawking, who I once, I can't say met, but I once saw, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it? I once saw in Cambridge in the United Kingdom where he is obviously quite the scholar and, of course, a professor at Cambridge University. I saw him wheeling down the road with his wife. I think it was his wife. I don't know if I uncovered an affair, but I feel like it would be tricky to have an affair and get away with it because, you know, your wife probably knows where you are most of the time. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. But nonetheless, I saw him once. That's my claim to fame. He was in Cambridge. He said this week that we need to be careful because, in not so many words and far more intelligent words than I'm about to use, he said that Terminator could become true. We are living in a time when we are investing heavily in computer power, which is doubling every 18 months, and computers may not have feelings, but they're now at the point where they could think for themselves. Throw that into a robot, apart from a lovely sex toy, what's going to happen? The uprising of the digital people, or something along those lines. But it comes at a time when there has been another prediction, which I find equally as fascinating and reinforces the professor's point. The digital twin. Yes, the study just recently out suggests that within 5 years, you could have a digital twin capable of making decisions for you and even interacting with loved ones after you die, says a technology expert. John Smart, a futurist and founder of Acceleration Studies Foundation, theorises that advances in computer science will soon allow computer-based versions of ourselves to act as personal agents, automatically filling out boring forms or scheduling appointments. Which is good if you don't turn up, isn't it? Because you can blame the other you for not making the appointment that you could have made. One day, these digital twins could even hold conversations and have faces that mimic emotion. How do you know that this radio show isn't being given to you by Vinny 2.0? I felt like Vinny 1.0 died on Tuesday. Yeah, they will become increasingly like us and extensions of us, Smart says. John Smart. John Smart, perfect name for him, isn't it? It'd be tricky if a scientist that predicted the future was named Colin Crap Prediction. For digital twin technology to reach its full potential, Smart says, there needs to be better conversational interfaces and semantic maps. But we're already off to a good start with software like Apple's Siri, Microsoft's Cortana, and Eugene Goodsman, a computer program that imitates a teenager, which recently passed the Turing test. Yes, they've developed a software and hardware program that imitates a teenager. I don't know what it does. I'm sure it just sits around masturbating, then shouts at you for bringing it into existence. Eventually, digital twins could draw on our writing, email, smartphone data and verbal feedback to formulate a detailed record of our individual interests and values over time. Where we're headed is creating this world in which you feel you have this thing out there looking after your values, says Smart. When you or I die, our kids aren't going to go to our tombstones. They're going to fire up our digital twins and talk to them. That's what he predicts. If I have kids and I die, I know they'll fire me up and adjust the setting to improve me. There is no doubt about that. Like, they'll make the accent North American. I'll be, like, chirpy in the mornings. They'll turn the farts off. It won't be really me at all. Just the ultimate version of me. The radio show will be flawless. Ah, Christmas is here and bah humbug. I'm feeling quite groovy. We had jingle bells earlier during the beginning of the show. We can pull them up at any time. Have you got any of those sleigh bell sound effects?
Vinny, I closed the window. I'll have to open it again.
I didn't realise that Santa was outside. Brilliant. No, don't worry about it. You know what we need is the best and worst Christmas songs of all time. That's what we're going to do. Coming back after the break, get ready, baby cakes. Tune your ears up. There's been some absolute humdinging awful Christmas songs in this world.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
if I'm slightly more narcissistic than King Jong-un. I was just looking on the News Talk 1010 website at my own page. It's a bit troubling. No, I got a text from someone that said, how do we find out more about you? I mean, to be honest with you, I think the best of me is on this radio show. I wouldn't really bother with the Twitter and the Facebook and all that business. But if you really want to, you can go to newstalk1010.com. And then I've just done it. I didn't know you could do this. You click on shows and hosts, and you get all the big, you know, big sexy hosts. John Moore, Jerry Agar, sex. Jerry. When I think of Jerry Agar, I just think of sexy. It's the first word that pops into your head, isn't it? You know, Angelina Jolie, sexy. Brad Pitt, sexy. Jerry Agar, sexy. It's just, they're all one and the same to me. I mean, you could swap them out. It would make no odds. Anyway, once you've cruised through all the important names of the groovy, sexy people, you'll get to another button at the bottom that says more. No, it doesn't. Where the hell do you find me? I don't even know. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, brilliant. And then you click on more, and then at the very end, I'm not even joking, at the very end of that list, the last one is Vinnie White. I am literally the last host to be mentioned on the website. Cheers. I will just assume it's because my last name begins with W. Nope, there's other people that should be further down the alphabet. Yes, you know where you are in life. Well, it's quality radio, like you're about to hear, that will put me up the ranks, baby cakes, because it's time for five awful Christmas songs and one really good one. Yes, we begin with songs that you, actually, all these five songs you probably haven't heard, which is a good thing because they're bloody awful. But we'll look at them anyway because it's that time of year. We'll start with The Cheeky Girls. Have a Cheeky Christmas. Sounds all right so far. Well, stay tuned. Cheeky Girls, by the way, are Romanian-born British-based pop duo consisting of twin... is it all right to say highly shaggable sisters? Gabriella and Monica Iremia. Can we hear just a bit more while I'm going? Just so we can really pollute our ears. They, like so many bands nowadays, became famous through one of those TV talent shows. You know, the TV talent shows where millionaires judge village idiots who attempt to sing songs completely out of their range and capability. The TV talent shows that make you sometimes side with Al-Qaeda on hating the West. They achieved success in the charts with four top 10 hits in the 2000s. Best known for their single Cheeky Song, Touch My Bum. Yeah, this one called The Cheeky Girls Have a Cheeky Christmas. And if you're feeling a bit on the edge, this should just tip you over. So there's that. Now, of course, the worst thing to come out of England since Piers Morgan got on a plane is this song from Billy Idol. This is from a talented man who is still going and he'll be playing here in Toronto next year. But for some reason, he went mad and wrote this. Billy Idol.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
Why?
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right
if you're,
time.
I doubt very much whether a great deal of people in rock and roll listen to this show, but if you are listening and you're really husky and you've got a sort of sexy following and you've developed a career from massive 80s anthems, then and you're thinking, oh, it's Christmas, I'll write a Christmas song. Don't. Just really don't. But it gets worse, of course. You probably haven't heard this, and for good reason. Questionable lyrics. This is Clarence Carter with Backdoor Santa. I keep some change in my pocket.
Break a day.
I don't know what's funny about this, the song itself, or the fact that I just tried to dance and crick my neck. Oh, it really hurt. God, I really can't move in any particular way. Christmas parties are out. That was Backdoor Santa. Backdoor Santa, he enjoys the back doors and happily pays off children so he can have some alone time with the women of the world and apparently use back doors. Definitely nothing questionable there. Justin Bieber once got together with Busta Rhymes. How did that ever even happen? They put together... I mean, Bing Crosby and David Bowie were weird doing Drummer Boy, but Justin Bieber and Busta Rhymes? Let's go! Justin Bieber, by the way, the troubled pop embryo with the press constantly hounding him about racing cars, throwing eggs and peeing in buckets. I actually feel sorry for him. Yes, I feel sorry for the millionaire singer. I do. Imagine having to sing that god-awful crap that you grew out of years ago while sanctimonious media pundits ridicule your every move. If you don't sing, people hate you. If you rebel, the press hates you. And you have to sit at home and look in the mirror and look at Justin Bieber looking back at you. It's not a nice thing to be. Stunningly, that's Busta Rhymes in the background as well. If you listen carefully, you can just hear him throwing his career away. Speaking of which, Run DMC had the stupid idiot idea of doing a Christmas song. Why did they do it? Let's find out. Run DMC, widely acknowledged as one of the most influential acts in history of hip-hop culture. Arguably the best-known hip-hop acts of the 80s, along with LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys and Public Enemy. They really signified the advent of new-school hip-hop. And they were the first group in the genre to ever have a gold album and be nominated for a Grammy Award. Which is why they shouldn't have done this.
Santa, Macy.
Yo, man, let's go eat, man. I'm starving.
And I was going to play a really good Christmas song, but I haven't got time because the show's about to run out. But I'll give you something to tease next week. Next week, you're going to hear the full-length version of Grandma Got Molested at the Airport, my personal Christmas favourite. Just have a tiny little bit, just as a taster. Quick. You'll hear this in its entirety and find out how
Grandma got molested at the airport.
All that coming up next week.
Flying home to our house.
Thanks for listening and thanks for being so lovely. See you next week.
They
bye.
Groped her breast and made